FAA's Randy Babbitt addresses the crowd at AEA 2010. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Randy Babbitt opened the FAA panels at the recent AEA 2010 show in Orlando. He's a featured speaker at many aviation gatherings, so often his comments at these shows are things we've heard before. But at AEA, even attendees who spend every day in the industry commented on how much good information he presented this time around. And if they thought so, you might too. So today through Friday, we're going to bring you his comments and the question and answer period which followed, edited slightly for time and to remove gaps. Babbitt talked about next-gen, SMS, repair station security rules, and user fees. We'll start today with AEA President Paula Dirks and her introduction.
I am honored this morning to have as our special guest the administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration. And I have to say that during my various encounters with this new administrator in the last few months, I've come to realize that this is a man who truly gets aviation. He has the background, he has the knowledge, and I believe the personal conviction to continue the mission of safety as we work towards the next generation of air transportation, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Mr. Babbitt comes to the FAA from Oliver Wyman, an international management consulting firm where he served as a partner. He's a veteran pilot and internationally recognized expert in aviation and labor relations, and he's certainly no stranger to the FAA. He's been a member of the agency's Management Advisory Council since 2001, and in that capacity, he provided guidance to the FAA administrator on a variety of topics, including air traffic modernization and regulatory policy. He began his aviation career as a pilot, flying 23 years with Eastern Airlines, and he's a skilled negotiator, and he served as president and CEO for the U.S.-based Airline Pilots Association, the largest organization of airline pilots. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt.
Good morning to everyone, and Paula, thank you for that kind introduction. It's always a pleasure to be with folks that have knowledge of aviation, enjoy aviation, and appreciate it. As Paula said, my background, I started at a pretty young age as a pilot, and I got my first job in aviation. I was a pilot for Eastern Airlines, and I've told people in the past, my goal as a brand new pilot at Eastern was twofold. Number one, I thought if I could fly my entire career and never meet the chief pilot, that would be a good thing. But the person I really never wanted to meet was the FAA administrator. So now I have the job. So I can't really confess to this being too big of a sacrifice, although I'll try to plead that it is to get me down here. My option was if I was not here, I could have spent some quality time back in Washington with the IG, the NTSB, the DOT. I could have testified a couple of times, maybe. This did seem like a much better option, candidly, to come down here and join you. But in all seriousness, I have a couple of things I'd like to talk with you about this morning. I first want to start off with an acknowledgement of the AEA. A couple of things have been such wonderful surprises to me as I have come here to the FAA. I did know a fair amount about the FAA, but I will confess openly that 40 plus years in the private sector does little to prepare you for federal service. But some of the great surprises have been, one, the quality of the people at the FAA. I am blessed to have a workforce that is just phenomenal. They rise to every challenge, and the challenges are many, and they come very quickly, many times unexpected. But we have a wonderful team. And I'm truly blessed and really having fun getting to work with these great folks. The other component, and I was part of, agency or associations, trade associations, representation associations in the aviation world, and it's been another great sort of enlightenment to see how compassionate and how helpful these organizations are, and the AEA is at the top of the list. the work that you've done and with your leadership and your focus have done a lot of great things to work together with the FAA and with partners in aviation, and is something we have all known, but I get to see it in living color today, and I get to see it in practice. The best solutions that we come up with are when the FAA and the folks there with their background work together with the industry collaboratively to develop the solutions that we put into practice. We have responsibilities and obligations. Unfortunately, some of mine are written down, but for all of us, the idea that we can get together and take the practical experience that you have from the field and the knowledge that we have both academically and from regulatory requirements and craft solutions speaks volumes to what groups working together can do. You all have done great things. We have worked collaboratively together on innovation that allows GA aircraft and aircraft systems to be approved, changes to those systems, maintenance to those systems, replacements to those systems, the STCs, all of those things have been modernized with your help and implemented. You've also given us a great commitment to influence both legislative and regulatory processes so that we can streamline them. We do need to make changes. We can't live in the 1950s. I'll talk a little bit about the navigation system that we employ today and enjoy, but it was designed when Dwight Eisenhower was in the White House, and that won't make it today. We have to keep moving forward, and as we embrace technology and move forward together, again, with your insights of the field, and our needs, we have come up with some terrific solutions. We have added the approved model list, for example, with your help. That was streamlined and brought aboard. These are great innovations that bring a lot of benefit, not only to people in the manufacturing world, but to the traveling public. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about, safety across the system, transporting the people, the goods, and the services of the United States, and making sure we do so safely. Training in repair stations. Again, we learn new technology. We learn how to teach people better. Your insights and those of some of your colleagues in the field have helped us greatly to change the way we train people. You've worked with GAMA. You've worked with the FAA. They have been key to improving the safety of not only our large aircraft, but our GA fleet, which is, if you stop and think about it, that's the underpinning of our aviation system.
In a moment, Randy Babbitt on how general aviation as an underpinning is a lesson other countries can miss. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. We're listening to part one of three of FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt's comments to attendees at the recent AEA convention in Orlando.
I recently had the opportunity to speak with a delegation, a large delegation that was here from India. And they wanted, we had a very candid discussion about how India was going to expand their aviation opportunities. They currently have little in the way of transportation infrastructure in the country. And they had a rather ambitious plan to build airports and large aircraft. And it took us a while, but at one point we had to explain to them, what are you doing to build general aviation? Because that is the root system of your aviation fleets. You can't just fly at 300 passenger airplanes between four big airports and expect to move your country's future products and growth opportunities among, you know, half a dozen big cities. That doesn't work. You have to have feed, and where are you going to get your pilots, where are you going to develop your mechanics and the other things. That all comes from general aviation. So we have enlightened them a little bit, and I think they were inspired to head to Wichita when last seen, so that was a good thing. But I do appreciate some of the innovation that you have brought, and I really want to thank you both collectively and individually for those efforts. Again, the trickle down, we often think that the innovation is made in big aircraft, and I think if you're a student of aviation history at all, you're going to see that it works the other way around. Things that we bring into being in use in the smaller aircraft, they get tried and tested, and they work their way up. The next thing you know, you'll see it on large aircraft. I had an opportunity to fly a Cirrus here just a few weeks ago, and I was dazzled. The last large aircraft that I flew, an airline operation, literally had one-tenth the navigational capability and situational awareness that was presented to me in the cockpit of a Cirrus S-22. It's just absolutely marvelous. And even when you fly modern aircraft, all-glass aircraft of today, large aircraft, the smaller aircraft are far ahead of them in terms of capabilities. Speaking of capabilities, I'm going to spend just a minute or two here talking about next gen. And I think one of the things that I have been saying recently is that this discussion on next gen, and this I have the pleasure this morning of speaking to a very sophisticated audience, and we all understand some of the needs, but I think as an industry and as a federal agency, I can certainly be critical of the agency and make an appeal to the industry. I don't think we have done a good enough job to explain to people what is next gen. Still too often people say to me, well, okay, next gen, what is that? That's when are you going to turn it on? It's a box somewhere in your office and you just don't feel like it yet, or what? No, it's a system of very complex systems, and we understand that, but we haven't done a good enough job to explain to the world at large. We haven't done a good enough job in Congress. We haven't done a good job in a lot of areas, and I think together we can do a better job of explaining what it is and how the benefits come about. Every component of flight will gain an advantage when we go to next gen. If you think about your flight planning process, if you're a pilot, you're going to have weather tools, you're going to have traffic information tools that you've never before had, and they'll be available to you whether you're in the flight planning stage, whether when you taxi out, you're going to have information available you've never seen before. Light aircraft will have the advantage of weather radar, better weather radar than any aircraft using airborne radar today enjoys. Every aircraft will have a better opportunity to see weather. When you taxi out, you're going to have an electronic flight bag. You're going to see every active runway. You're going to see every hot taxiway. You're going to see every closed taxiway. You'll know precisely where you are. You'll know precisely where everyone else is. I can tell you the hardest thing as a pilot to do, especially a new pilot, when you move into the left seat, the hardest problem you have is you land at Kennedy at 11 o'clock at night in the rain and they tell you to taxi to the gate. There are no signs. There's nothing out there, and you either you have to find those little is this double alpha, you know, turn on Bravo Bravo, or and there's no relative positioning. So it's literally the hardest part of flying. You know precisely where you are until you touch down. That goes away. Runway incursions go away. Your takeoff, your departure, all of those procedures, the spacing, the accuracy of your departure, the en route. The ability to know precisely where an airplane is. Today, we assume that radar is a pretty good tracker. It is if you're interested in knowing where an airplane is every 12 seconds. But airplanes are moving at 8 miles a minute. And when two of them are coming together, they're closing at 16 miles a minute. Knowing where they are every 12 seconds isn't good enough. We can closely entrail space differently. We can parallel. We can do a lot of things with better information. Continuous descent approaches, when we think about the energy savings and the environment, these are phenomenal savings for us. And when you look at what people, the continuous descent approaches and the tailored arrivals that we're using in Atlanta and Los Angeles and other areas now where we're beginning to develop these. The savings go anywhere from 50 gallons to 80 gallons of fuel per descent. That's a lot of money. Southwest Airlines is designing RNP arrivals into four airports in this country, and they're spending $175 million of their own money to have their own approaches to save 3 minutes. 3 minutes per arrival at four airports. And when I asked them, that's a lot of money. And we're talking about Dallas Love, we're talking about Houston Hobby, we're talking about Midway, and we're talking about LaGuardia. And when I've talked to their financial folks, it's, that's a lot of money to pay, $175 million to have these arrivals. What do you expect to get back? And they said, we expect to get every dime back in 2 years. 3 minutes, four airports, and they're going to get all their money back. There is a tremendous business case to be made for this type of accuracy and the precision that you get with RNP-type approaches. RNAV is good. RNP is 10 times better.
When we resume in Part 2 tomorrow, FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt discusses how significant aviation is to the economy of the U.S. and why next-gen ATC will have such a major impact. The FAA's website can be found at www.faa.gov. Learn more about the Aircraft Electronics Association at aea.net. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.